Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, it looked like it took her a little bit longer to give us the intro, Dave. This is Ulysses Butch Slaughter with Sex and the Struggle. I'm here with my man and my brother, David Freeman. What's happening, brother Dave?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Always, always, always excited to hop on the line and do Sex and the Struggle. Every Tuesday night, we've been doing this probably about 3 months now, man. Would you say we've done this about three months now?
Yeah, it's been that long, and we've had some really hot topics, and we've had a lot of good feedback from the listeners.
I agree. And I note that our numbers seem to be getting better and better. And I think it has something to do with us being more efficient, being more comfortable. I think we got a long way to go, man. We got a lot to talk about. And if you're listening to Sex and the Struggle right now, and you want to call in at some point, you are welcome to call in sooner rather than later. You're welcome to call in at any time. And the number is 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. I'll repeat that over and over again. We're talking sex in the struggle, not sex and the struggle. Although we could probably say that. We're talking about sex within the struggle. And we're talking about the struggle from a number of different perspectives, as we do every week. Conversation grows out of a book that I wrote back in December. The book is called Forgive, the New Mantra in Practice for Black Men. And within that book, I've got a section dedicated to Marvin Gaye. Those of you that have listened to this a few times have probably heard me say this at least once, that I am very fond of Marvin Gaye. I believe that Marvin Gaye did an incredible job of balancing social advocacy and sexual intimacy. Marvin Gaye could ask the question, what's going on, in one breath, and then in the next breath be saying, let's get it on. So there was no contradiction for Marvin Gaye when it came to sex within the struggle. And so that's what we're talking about. And we know that, Dave, there are a lot of different types of struggles that people deal with, not just racial struggles. We've talked about other struggles. What do you remember about some of the other struggles that we've talked about on this program? What were some of the struggle topics that we've talked about?
Well, we're right in the middle of one that sort of hit all of us starting back in November, when we had to wake up and realize that, you know, we have a president that many of us thought that was not, this was not the way things were going to go. And so for a lot of my friends, people in my area, I watched them go through a set of feelings, and there were lots of protests, and there was a feeling that I have to do something. I have to come to the forefront. I have a job. I have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And the question that you keep asking about that is, yes, all of that is there, but how do you take care of yourself in the middle of all of that? How do you take care of yourself when you're having struggles with your job, or when you're having struggles with other things in life? You know, you've got things that you have to stand up for and be present for, but you also have to be present for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talk about, as you're laying out the whole election political thing, we talk about the macro struggles, which some social scientists would refer to as macro struggles. And then we also talk about the micro struggles. And it is those smaller things that are internal struggles for us that actually play themselves out in our daily lives, in our relationships. So, you know, we've heard people talk about everything from weight, as in being overweight, to the color of their skin, to their financial struggles. You know, we've talked about all kinds of struggles, and everybody has their own struggles. So we tend to talk about a variety of struggles when we're talking here on Sex in the Struggle. And if you're listening and you want to call in and you want to join us in this conversation, again, you call 657-383-0185. And that's 657-383-0185. One of the things that we're going to hit on this evening, Dave, is we're going to be talking about the struggle of dating. Dating is a struggle for a lot of people. I just remember, man, I'm 51 years old, and I think I've been dating for about 50 years now. You know, I've been trying to date since I was a year old, man. And I got to tell you, it's been a struggle all 50 years. And I think about the different things that I have encountered in my life. Uh-huh. And one of the things that is used today, and it's probably become more popular in the last 5 to 10 years, to attempt internet dating, online mm-hmm. dating has become very popular. And mm-hmm. I find it interesting that online dating is not much different than face-to-face dating. That's just my opinion. There are other people that might say it's very different, but there was a time,
there's
where
one thing,
to meet somebody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the one thing that I would say about online dating is that I think we all have to be, well, it's very helpful to be mindful of and to be careful of, is you don't want to weaken your skills of just having a face-to-face conversation with someone, just meeting someone and just having things are so, you know, it's so easy to text someone, it's so easy to, mm-hmm. swipe someone, but mm-hmm. we forget, you know, after we've been in that world for so long, I've been in that headspace. You know, you see somebody in a grocery store, you have no idea what to say to them. You know, and it doesn't mean that you have to. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't mean that you're out to meet someone or you expect something to come. But just where's the common courtesy that used to go along with this? And that's the part of us. We're showing part of us that we like to connect to.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. And I think you're absolutely right, man. I laugh because when I'm in the store sometimes or wherever I am, I've always prided myself or thought of myself at least as a guy who was very sociable, and I could just kind of walk up to somebody and I could start a conversation. I don't mind sitting at a bar every now and then. I hang out at the gym. I'm a social guy, so I hang out a lot.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
When I found that I've seen somebody and I wanted to know their name, I've never had a problem walking up to somebody and saying, "Hey, what's your name?" Or, "Hey,"
right.
You know, I'll come up with some corny ass line to, you know, and knowing that it's corny, I'll come up with a corny ass line to say something to get something going. But you're absolutely right, man. There's a way that we have weakened our repertoire, our social repertoire, in favor of hiding behind a cell phone or hiding behind a laptop. And we
that's
call
right.
that, we call that dating. That's mm-hmm. all that fucking texting too. It drives me batty, man. I am not a texter, man. I don't mind it, but I mean, if I'm trying to meet somebody and we're going to substitute talking for texting, oh my God, mm-hmm. no, I can't do that shit, man. I just can't
right.
do it. So, you know, it's one thing just to be talking about texting and everyday work, you know, communicating with my children or friends or something like that. But when I'm trying to get to know somebody, texting? Oh, hell no.
Right.
I don't like to do it. And you're right.
Yeah,
the whole swiping thing.
That's right, yeah. So I'm guilty of spending a lot of time texting. That's the way I communicate, because the thing I do like about that is, you know, a lot of times I've got, you know, I work, we've talked about, you know, what it's like to be, to work in a field that is very masculine and missing connection. And, you know,
right.
I may have a, you know, a 10-minute walk down a hall to my next meeting, and it feels good to be able to connect with somebody, but I can't have a conversation with them. I can't call them, but just to be able to reach out and say, "Hey, you know, I thought about you, how's your day?" And to get that going back and forth, and then say, you know, "Okay, I gotta check out now. I gotta, you know, bounce into this meeting." And
mm-hmm.
so I guess it has a place for me. And yeah, so I think there's both sides of it. You've got to remain broad. You've got to remain, you know, you've got to hold on to your humanity. You've got to hold on to your, you know, the whole thing about connecting with people. And I'm like you. When I go to the grocery store and I'm buying something and the cashier is having trouble with the register, and we might have a big laugh about it. You know,
right.
it's there's nowhere I'm trying to go with that, but it's just in that moment, it's they're two humans who are seeing each other, and that's what
right.
it feels like.
And so we're talking, if you're just joining us, Ulysses Butch Slaughter here with Dave Freeman, talking about sex in the dating game, and we started talking about I started talking about the online dating thing that has become really popular, you know, from I guess, you know, Match to Tinder to, you know, Cougar.net and, you know, whatever, man. There's so many of them out there. It's just ridiculous. But the thing about the dating game, sex and the dating game, is that I eventually want to get Dave into the place where we're talking about sex in the dating game. And what I'm talking about here is how do you deal with sex in the dating game? I don't suppose to have a formula or an answer, but I'm sorry, I was just getting a text from Frenchie Davis, who will probably be joining us soon. I don't suppose to have an answer, but I think that it's an interesting conversation when you're talking about dating. And we've got this event coming up soon in D.C. called Don't Wait Fornicate. And part of Don't Wait Fornicate revolves around making your own rules, for how you engage with people intimately, making your own rules about when you decide you're going to have sex, making your own rules in general. And I like Don't Wait Fornicate as a way of saying you have to ask permission. You don't have to be looking for the answers from somebody else to figure out what works for you. And in the dating scene in particular, man, how often do we hear people talking about it's too early? It's too early to have sex. I need to get to know you. Or, you know, what have you heard? I mean, is there a thing that you hear, Dave, around when you should and should not have sex at a dating
prep? Oh, you're talking to somebody who grew up in the Bible Belt. So, yeah, I've heard a lot. In fact, I've got, and we've talked about this a little bit, I've got a lot of strong conditioning that I had to overcome just to have my own voice, to hear what I think about things. Because, you know, growing up in North Carolina and the culture that was around what is supposed to be and you know, things being black or white. And I grew up having a lot of, you know, sort of not thinking for myself, but understanding what it means to be a good boy, what it means to be,
right.
you know, to and I also, there was another side of that where I was also privy to a lot of the people, or a lot of the lives of people who were laying out these rules that that, you know, we were supposed to follow, and I'm seeing
right.
that they're not following them themselves. So that
yep.
created a dichotomy where I thought, you know, it was a place where I didn't understand where I fit in. It was a place where I developed a strong sense of right and wrong, even though I didn't have good examples. And then I started projecting my own strong sense of right and wrong. And that was a lot to overcome. When, in fact, I didn't overcome that until my father passed. And that was when I started to wake up and say, you know what? I've done, you know, this, that, and the other in my life. I have earned the right to make my own decisions. But it took that. It took my father passing for me to really see that and to actually say that for myself.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff, man. When we're talking about making decisions, real decisions based off of our real choice, that's just, a lot of people never take time to think about where they're coming from with some of the decisions that they
right.
make and the choices that they make. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just what it is. So
right
again, as it relates to
and
dating,
I
find it interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. This is not about
uh-huh.
This is not about go out and do, you know, do all this, this, that, and the other out there, because, you know, that's, it's the same thing. You can say, go out and have all the sex you want, or you can say, wait until you're, I don't know, until you're married and have, you know, till you're married and have kids before you can enjoy sex. But, so, you know, what we're saying is, you don't need someone else to tell you, this is what you decide for yourself. You take ownership of that. And we all are spiritual beings who live in these physical bodies, and these bodies like to be touched. They need to be touched. They need to be held. They need to be caressed. They need to be fucked. And mm-hmm. so you can mm-hmm. spend your life denying all of that. And I have lots of friends who do, and they live, you know, they wait a long time. And, you know, that is their choice, but, you know, there's a price to pay for that. And the other side of this, you know, making up your mind that you don't have to earn the right to be held or the right to be touched, the right to have sex. That's your right. All of that is given to you. You have a body just like everyone else does.
Dave, please repeat that, because I think that's not a way that people usually hear that. You have to earn the right. Now, I know some people listening will probably start talking about, you know, where the trust factor comes in. And I think that there's a place for a conversation around trust. But I often wonder if people are talking about trusting the other person or trusting their self when it comes
that's
to intimacy.
Right. That's,
so often we will put it off on the other person.
That's right. If you have a desire for something, you know, I used to, this was one thing that I got away from, and I it was something that had to be shown to me. And once I saw this, it blew my mind. You know, I'm with a woman, and I'm feeling I want to have sex, and I'm trying to figure out how to persuade her so that we can have sex, so we can have a moment to ourselves. And what I've learned is she has a desire, but she's not owning that. So now I'm doing all this work because she won't own the fact that she has desire. And what that looks like to me is that's a lot of work on my side. You know, if I'm with someone who says, you know, who owns her own desire and she wants to have sex, and it doesn't mean that it has to happen. And I do that. I sometimes say the same thing. Sometimes I will admit that right now I have a desire to have sex. It's not a request. I'm not asking to have sex. I'm just admitting, you know what, right now, this is where I am. I'm horny as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's all it means. I'm just telling you where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As I listen to us talk, man, I wish I would have invited some of my high school classmates. I only hope some of them are listening right now. I really do. I went to a Catholic seminary, Dave, where it was a Catholic college preparatory seminary for boys. And it was an all-boys school where we were in step one of maybe three that would lead us into the priesthood. So we spent a lot of time talking about terms like fornication, talking about, you know, premarital sex, talking about masturbation. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time talking about this stuff and how bad it was, you know. And so I was well indoctrinated, you know. Thank God I didn't believe any of that stuff. But, you know, it didn't stop them from trying to beat it into me. But what was funny to me on Facebook about a week ago, one of my high school classmates, a guy I graduated with, posted on Facebook that it's funny to him to see the work that I engage in, you know, what most people would view as sex work. Some of the work that I do, people view as sex work. But he was saying to our other classmates that he can't help but smile every time he sees me post something, and he thinks about how much time has passed by, and he's talking about how people our age are losing their hair and their bellies are getting big and they're spending more time in front of TV, and here I am, you know, posting stuff about sex while they watch TV and lose hair and get strong, bigger waistlines.
He can enjoy his TV.
Hey, look, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you enjoy your TV while I make movies. I'll make some movies. You know, I'll give you the drama, and you can watch TV.
That's
but I'm
right.
saying that because it is an interesting conversation, still one that people haven't bought into, the conversation about yes to sex, yes to intimacy. I keep saying that this is the conversation that once people begin to embrace the conversation instead of running from it, this is the conversation that changes the world. It really does. Things begin
right.
to change in the world when we begin to talk about intimacy and sex, lovemaking. When you hear that as much as you hear about some of the bullshit politics, when people
mm-hmm.
begin to turn that way, things are going to change. I want to tell people who are listening that you're listening to Ulysses Butch Slaughter and my brother Dave Freeman. We are on this program project we call Sex in the Struggle. And if you want to join us, you are welcome to. You can call 657-383-0185. Again, we do this every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this evening we are talking about sex in the dating game. And because there's so much to it, if it sounds like we might be, you know, all over the place, just know that we know exactly where we're going here, but we also know where we've come from to get to the point where we're talking about sex in the dating game. Dave, it's impossible not to talk about where you are without talking about where you've come from. And so that you and I will dip back into your humble beginnings on the Bible Belt, or my humble beginnings, a place called Quigley Seminary South on the south side of Chicago. It's necessary that we do that as we start talking about sex in the dating game, because it is that orientation, that indoctrination that you and I received that kind of set a foundation, or attempted to set a foundation, for how you and I would behave. But thank God you and I are bucking all of that. Thank God we weren't so thoroughly brainwashed that we are afraid to have this conversation.
That's right. Thank God we started thinking for ourselves and stopped relying on what someone else wanted us to believe and how they wanted us to think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in this dating game thing, man, we started out a little earlier talking about the, the online dating. It could be online dating. It could be any kind of dating. We can talk about any kind of dating. And if we were to define dating, I think we would probably agree that dating is like some trial and error engagements. That's what dating is really all about. We're doing some trial and error, trying to figure one another out. And one of the things that is often off the table in the trial and error process is sex. It's like, okay, let me get to know you. Let me hear what you have to say. Let me hear about your parents, your job. Let me hear about all these other things. And don't talk about sex, because then I'm going to think you're a creep. As soon as you start talking about sex, I'm going to think you're a creep. But let's hear your politics. Let me hear you talk about Democrats, Republicans, and Russians. And, let me hear you talk about everything but sex. Because as soon as you bring that up, especially if you bring that up on a first date, it's over, because you're a creep. You were only looking for a hookup. I'm like, nah, it's just not true.
Right. And I think you and I have developed some communication tools that help us get over that barrier. But I think there are a lot of, especially men, but women also suffer stigma from that, but who cannot open that conversation because they don't have the tools to create a safe place to talk about that, a place that where they can have a conversation. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, I might tell somebody where I am right now, and it doesn't mean that I want to have sex with them, or that I'm asking them for something, or that I feel like they owe me something. But I'm just telling you right now, in this very moment, this is where I am. And so when we have this conversation, I'm coming from that place. My mind is in that place. My body is in that place. And I can be in that place, feel those sensations, and not need to change those, not need not need to have sex. You know, if I'm with somebody who I want to know more about, maybe I want to open up more about me without, I don't need to say, you know, because you're standing here and I'm horny, we got to, you know, if you don't want to fuck, then I'm, you know, I'm going to be out. You know, you know, I'm
okay, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Go, please finish that thought.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, I think being able to create a space where we can have this conversation, we can be honest and open like this, and both people feel safe and not feel that there's manipulation or something else going on. I think that that's a powerful space to be. And it, if you can create that space, it's a wonderful space to be.
I agree. And I love when you say that just because I said it does not mean I'm asking you for anything. I'm just telling you, people aren't used to talking this way though, Dave. People aren't used to saying,
all.
You know, this is what I'm feeling. You know, even if somebody said,
right.
You know, you really turned me on, you know, how long we, you know, it's like, we got to play this game. We had to ask ourselves, well, what is the right moment where I should say this?
Uh-huh.
What is the logical moment to say this? All right.
Uh-huh.
I see my girl has just joined us. I know this number. I'm not going to be fooled this time. Cause this is one. this is the Davis sister, but this is Tazima. I'm not going to be fooled by that DC number, Tazima.
That's right.
Not tonight. Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Fool me. You
not tonight.
Fool me the first. What's up, Tazima?
Hey, what's up? I'm in the house.
How you doing, Tazima?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, sister. It's good to have you. Always good to have you. Dave and I were talking about this thing of sex in the dating game. And I was telling Dave,
mm-hmm.
You know, Tazima, when you and I were doing Happy Black People some time ago, we would often
mm-hmm.
try to figure out what we're going to talk about. You know, we would try to plan what we were going to talk about. But I have to say, some of our best conversations were conversations that were organic. They just kind of came like lightning rods to us. You know, you would be doing
mm-hmm.
something, I'd be doing something, and then it'd be like, you know what? That's the conversation, because that's what I'm feeling right now. And that's kind of how
yep.
this happened today. I'm having a conversation about dating and sex. And I realized that dating, there's this, I won't even call them protocols, but people have developed some kind of normalcy around conversations about sex, engaging in sex, and when it's appropriate to do it in dating. And I don't get it. I think I used to get it, but I don't get it anymore, Tazima.
Yeah, there are a lot of rules, you know.
I'd like for us, go ahead.
As a card-carrying control freak, the rules help people feel safer. You know, it's not necessarily safer, but it gives us the, you know, kind of a feeling like it's safe. If I can control things, then at least I know what's going to happen, which is not true.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we're preparing for this thing that we call Don't Wait Fornicate, I think that this conversation is informative. All of us were told, and we're still constantly being told, to be careful. We're always being told, be careful. And especially when we are dating someone for the first time, we're being told how long we should wait, what the circumstances should be. We're being given a lot of what some people would think is useful information. And I got to tell you, I don't find it very useful at all. Dave, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. That used to be one of my, that was one of my pet peeves, because it was a way to control me. When somebody would say to me with no other words, just be careful. When I was younger, that was enough to send me thinking for 2 weeks. You know, whatever I was getting ready to do that night wasn't going to happen, because I had 2 weeks of thinking to do.
Right.
Right.
But and you're exactly right. It's you know, it's all, it's almost using fear, setting things up so that people are afraid of something. And I think it was I think Frenchie said something last week about how, you know, we're, when we're old enough to hear about sex, we're always told about, you know, what happens if you have a baby, what you know, you need to wait because you know, if you get pregnant and you're not ready for that, or you might catch a disease or all these other things. No one tells you, and I loved it when she said this, but nobody says to you, wait, because when it happens, it's going to be so good, it's going to blow your mind. No, that's not how we're introduced to sex.
That is right. That's right.
Yeah, that's actually, that is actually just part of what I have an issue with. Is that we don't talk about the beauty and the gorgeousness and the pleasure that is sex. Sex has a super
right.
bad rap. It's horrible. That, you know, that it gets this, like, well, it's something to be avoided, and then people find out that it's awesome, and then it's a secret that it's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. And not only do they find out that it's awesome, but by that time it has been layered with so much shame and guilt that you know, they can't enjoy it openly as they would want to.
I want to let anybody know who's listening that you're listening to Sex and the Struggle, my slaughter. That is Brother David Freeman and Sister Tazima Davis. We're on every Tuesday doing Sex in the Struggle. And if you want to join us, you can call 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. We don't think that sex should be a struggle, but we know that it can be. So we get on here every Tuesday and we talk about this. And one of the things that is a struggle for many people is dating. Dating, I know people, Tazima, who just kind of pull back from it and just say, you know what, I'm just going to take some time off. I've heard a lot of people say, I'm just going to spend some time by myself. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. What I am saying is that people have a tendency to bringing old things into new situations and think that by backing out and just being by their self that it's going to change. And I can see the logic behind that, but more often than not, I found that I am changed in relationship to other people. I'm not changed when I isolate myself.
And that's,
your thoughts
that's
about
exactly
that?
What I was definitely going to chime in on that. And the piece about it is there are certain things that you literally can only find out when you engage with another human being. There is
right.
a difference. One of my favorite authors talks about, he's one of the neuroscience people, he talks about the difference between information, intellectual knowledge, and wisdom of experience. And the big difference, he has an analogy that he uses where you can read a book about riding a bike and the difference between that and learning how to balance, you know, having a blowout, changing the tire, the whole thing. In the same way, you can't actually learn the skills that you need to learn to actually have a wonderful, engaging, awesome, sexual, and intimate relationship by just studying how to do it. You can't. It takes another person. And if you just realize that as you engage with the person, like, that shit is going to come up, that's exactly the shit that comes up is exactly the stuff that can be an opportunity for you all to actually get in there and grapple with one another and figure it out and find out what you're made of. That's intimacy.
I love that, Tazima. And I think that, you know, for me, working through my own situations, my own self, my own issues, finding out what I'm made of, finding out what triggers me, finding out what makes me happy, all of this where I really dig into the meat has been through some type of interaction with someone else. And so, you know, what Ulysses, we were talking before, and we haven't gotten to the question that you sent out, which I really love, about dating multiple people or having sex with multiple people. But one of the things that people have as a mind block, I think, is they think that if you're dating more than one person, then you've got to be using one of those people. But as I look at this as a way to explore myself, to understand myself, to challenge myself in ways that that would not come up if I were not, you know, if I were trying to figure this out by reading a book, what I find is I have a partner who's willing to help me work through this shit and get to the other side of something. And, you know, being honest and open about what comes up, it's very triggering sometimes. It means that you have to say the vulnerable thing sometimes. But you're, you know, doing this in a way that is respectful to the other person so that they understand where you are with respect to what you're doing and what you two are engaged in and how you connect with each other. But there's a lot of this is, you know, having connection, being in connection with someone is a powerful tool to understanding more about yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm going to keep throwing this number out because I want people to join in where they can. You can call 657-383-0185. This is Sex and the Struggle, and we are talking about, and I'm hoping I want to slow this down a little bit. We're talking about sex in the dating game. And there are a lot of aspects to this. You just hit on one, Dave. One of the other ones I would want to talk about is as it relates to sex in the dating game, I often hear people talk as if they are in process of getting to know someone. Let me just set this up with some specifics just for this this theoretical example. So you met somebody, you've been seeing them for a couple of weeks. Is the expectation that you're not going to have sex because you've just met, you know, only been together for a couple of weeks? But is the expectation on either of the other person's side that the other person is not going to have sex with someone else while they don't have sex with one another? It's an interesting, it's not really interesting at all. It's actually kind of silly to me, but the thought that you're getting to know someone and in getting to know someone that there's sometimes the expectation that everything is going to come to a halt. And if it's not an expectation, oftentimes it's not spoken. Nobody will say, "Hey, yeah, I'm enjoying getting to know you, and you know, I continue to have sex with other people as I get to know you." These are not the types of things that people talk about. They don't get real nitty gritty with stuff like this because it's a game. Everybody's trying to get an advantage in this game, and the only advantage is to be vulnerable. The only advantage is to be as truthful as you can, because then it kind of forces everybody to come clean. But that's not the way we were taught to do it. We were taught to keep your cards very close to you during the dating game, tell them only so much, and then when you get so far down the road, then you just kind of drop the whole bomb on her, or you can drop the whole bomb on her.
Right.
That shit doesn't make any sense.
That's bullshit. Yeah. So you're with someone who you actually do care about. But, and I think, and, you know, again, this is where I've learned about myself through connecting with others and seeing how I respond and how I react. I found that for me, it was a means of control. If I'm controlling the information, then I'm controlling the relationship. So I'm not going to tell you that, you know, as we get closer together, as I put my attention on you, that I still have other people I'm having sex with, I'm connecting with. I'm going to try to keep that hidden because I'm afraid that if I give you all of the information and I allow you to make your own decision based on the information that you have, based on, you know, honest and open information, then you might not choose me. You might choose something else that I don't have any control over. And that's not fair to that person.
So I have a lot of passion about this particular point. And
go ahead, Tazima.
It's super critical to get that the safety that people are looking for by holding and withholding information is actually, it makes it more unsafe. Vulnerability actually creates safety. It creates intimacy. And, you know, the thing is if you reveal something and someone takes advantage of it, if you do this early on, don't you think that is better and safer than if you're a year in and then you find something out about someone? So if you start to reveal early on, hey, I want to let you know, I'm seeing X, Y, and Z people. I plan to continue having sex with them until we make a different arrangement. But don't assume that. Don't assume that they know you seeing other people, so they know exactly what that means. That could mean anything. It could mean that every other week you get strung up with some rope and the person flogs you, okay? It might mean you cuddle with someone every Thursday and Friday. It might mean that you are actually having sex with seven people a week. We don't know what that means to you. No one will know what your "I'm seeing other people" actually means until you actually tell them. And by the way, whatever your lifestyle is, it's something you might want to let the person in on if you plan to be with them for some kind of time. I allowed when I connected with my partner, I think we should probably call what I did kind of like the Olympics of dating or something, because I was like, I'm going to throw this man into the deep end. I'm going to give him, like, everything. Here's what I'm into. We're going to go to the events that I go to. I'm going to tell you straight up on the first day what my end game is. Look, I'm really trying to have some kids in the next year or so. I do not have a partner yet. I want to be married. Like, that was before the first date. That was before he got my number.
Before you gave me a number?
He called me before I gave my number. I was like, here's my deal. I'm really not entertaining anybody who doesn't want a family. Do you want a family? Because if you don't want a family, we don't need to even say anything else other than how's the weather. Because that's where I was so committed to that. And it created a lot of safety when I could see that he chose that. He chose me because he knew that ahead of time. I wasn't going to slip that in on date number 6.
That brings me to the place that was talking about that thing of control, Tazima. There's a way that people are attempting to control other people based off of their own fears. And I think sometimes we play into other people's fears. You know, we want people comfortable with us. And I know I've been guilty of this. I want you to be comfortable with me, so I'm not going to say certain things, or I'm not going to do certain things. So I want you to be comfortable with me. I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm some kind of creep, some kind of freak. My not wanting you to think something is my attempting to control what you think. And oftentimes we don't see it that way. We think that we're doing somebody a favor by not wanting them to think the truth about who we are, rather than just telling them the truth about who we are and letting them determine what to do about that. And I think we have to ask ourselves, how good do we feel about who we are if we can't be more vulnerable about who we are? What does that say about the person that's with you?
There's another part of that, too. There's also, and this to me is a part that is it takes it to another level of sadness, where because we are with somebody and we don't want them to know what we actually feel inside, what our desires are, we actually, not only do we not tell them and we hide that, but we also stop pursuing those desires. So then we want years later down the road, we wonder why the marriage doesn't have any oomph.
Mm-hmm. 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 Davis, what you're saying that
you lied about the oomph. You lied about the oomph.
That's right.
You didn't
that's
say
right.
what the oomph
that's
was
right.
for you. So you mm-hmm. can't get it if you've edited it out. And
that's
my
right.
thing is, like, I know that no the person who's with me needs to know who I am. That's at the end of the day, sure, we want sex. At the end of the day, sure, we want to be, you know, we want some tenderness in our lives. But really what we want, the depth of what we want, which is what we're actually reaching to acquire when we have sex with someone, we're reaching to experience someone deeply knowing us. So think about intimacy. Intimacy is what? Deeply knowing who the person is, deeply knowing yourself. And every time you don't reveal something that is the truth about who you are, you're denying yourself the intimacy and being
That's
seen
right.
and being known that you're actually going for and reaching for. And people are hungry. You people talk about people being thirsty. No, people are hungry for that. If you want to use thirsty
and
for that too, but you're
right.
cutting
and
it off
other...
from yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And the other part of that, and this is one that, oh, I've seen so many times. So the person who is denying themselves their own desire because of what they feel that the other person wants to see, later on when they start to get further down that line and they see that they're not, they don't have access to those desires, then guess where they put the blame for not having access
that's
to those
right.
desires? They put it on
that's
the other
right.
person.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very, very
it's
true.
It's your fault that I don't get to dress up like a freak anymore. No,
that's
it ain't.
Right.
No, it ain't. Yeah, that's what you chose.
You chose
to box up your costumes and put them in the attic or the basement or the back of the closet. That's no choice.
Yeah.
Nobody made you do
that. And there's a lot of growing that. Yeah, there's a lot of growing that has to The one has to go through to work through all of that shit. Because as we started this conversation talking about the conditioning and all the things that we grow up in, coming from that, trying to find your own desire, to find your own path, that your own connections to people, it does make it a challenging road.
And I think one of the things that we are – if we were advocating for something and our listeners were saying, okay, now, so what are you telling me to do? What are you suggesting that I do? I think we're mm-hmm. suggesting that you know what you want and stay true to what it is that you want. And
that's right.
Want it all, want it fully. Don't want it in a half-assed way, because the half-assed will put you in a position where you're going to fall back toward what you actually don't want. You got to want it full on out. You really do have to want what you want full out. And Tazima, when you talk about telling somebody the truth from the very beginning, somebody asks, you mean like you're saying before the dude got your phone number, you begin to tell the truth that early?
Yes, sir.
Asking, you tell him that early that
oh,
this
yeah.
is what you want?
That was not an exaggeration in the least. I promise you, he will let you know. We could call him up, but that's what I said. I mean, let's talk though for a moment about what had me get to the place that I could say that truth. It was my own deep commitment to having it.
Mm.
You can't tell the truth about what you want if you're not committed to having it. Because you're going to end up telling it in some kind of fucked up way where you are like, well, I really want this thing, but, you know, I don't think I can have it. It's not going to necessarily be in those words, but you will present it in a way that the person that you're telling will actually want you to deny it because you are denying it to yourself. So first comes the commitment to what you want. You got to get deeply committed. And then once you're deeply committed, then it's much easier to share it. You got to know that you can have it. And by the way, it does not matter what you want. You can want something that is completely absurd, completely unheard of. You don't think there's going to be anybody in the world who could possibly meet that. I promise you there is someone out there who will want to do it. It's 7 billion people on the planet. Cut out half of those. There are at least three, let's just say conservative estimate, there are probably 3 billion people, and then half that again, you know, 1.5 billion people, probably in 1.5 billion people you can find somebody who will want to do the same.
And I don't mean to call people weeds, Tazima, but there's a way that people
are
okay. Okay, I'll let you call them weeds. But I mean, there's a way that we let
they're weeds for you. They're weeds for you.
That's
if
right.
you don't want someone who that's not your flower, get rid of
that's
them.
Right.
Fuck them. They don't. They're
that's
dead
right.
weight. I feel super strongly about this because I see it so much in my practice. I see it so much with people complaining about shit. I'm fucking tired of this shit. Like, people are weeds if they don't match who you truly are. You're not
right.
proving jack shit to anyone except I don't deserve what I want. That's all you're proving if you're out there not telling the truth about who you are and what you want. Kisses
that is
me
absolutely
off. Can you
right.
tell?
Yep. Some told me that you don't like this shit at all. And
I
that's
don't.
Good to hear.
Please
and,
stop
And not
it.
That people need to. People need to take heed your words very well because time is short and we keep bullshitting ourselves around, you know, the game. We talk the dating game and that the dating game, we are actually getting paid often by the dating game because we keep
Absolutely.
Going into the dating game, lying to ourselves. And when we're lying to ourselves, you can't help but to lie to other people. When you stop lying to yourselves, the weeds don't grow up around you. You can make space for those 7 million people that are out there. You can push the 6.5 billion away so that the 7 can get to you. But as long as you keep saying hey to the 6.5 billion, how in the hell will 7 million get through 6.5 billion? It ain't going to happen. Not in this lifetime. It's not going to happen. So for the people that are out there playing the dating game, be careful that you're not playing yourself by acting like you can change the people that you're dating, that you can accommodate them for a little while, and then you'll change them. Stop acting like you are going to either swipe left, swipe right, whatever it is you're going to do. Stop playing like you are going to be okay with this. And before you know it, it's like quicksand. You start to seep and sink down into that shit, but you are the one who stepped into it. You're actually the one who stepped into it of your own volition. You said, I'm going to play this game, and you're the one that wound up getting played. Well, always running out of time. We are already at 6:53. We've been talking about sex in the dating game, and you know, there's so much still to talk about this, because I think the one thing that we didn't really get into was, you know, people will ask the question, you know, well, when should I, you know, when should I have sex with somebody that I'm dating? What if you had to give a quick answer to that, Dave, what would you say?
Well, I think that if you're asking the question, when should I, you're speaking to your own uncertainty. And I would wonder, you know, what you have to answer that question for yourself. And if you're asking me that question, I would want to know, you know, what's behind that? What is your resistance? What are you feeling? What's, you know, is this conditioning? Is it there's something with the person that, although you're telling me that this is someone you want, there's something that is holding you back? There could be lots of things, but I think a person has to really get down and be honest with themselves. And I think this is something that, at least for me, it was difficult to do until I had practice. I had to do this and get it wrong again and again and again before I started to get it, to understand that this is who I am and this is what I want.
Tazima, what would you say to that question? When do you're dating somebody, you meet them for the first time, this is a fresh slate, when do you have sex with somebody?
Right after you tell them exactly what you want, you've had in the long term of what you want in your dating, like objective. What is your dating objective? You've communicated that. You've communicated something about your sexual preferences. I like this. I don't like that. After you have communicated, I expect to be treated in such and such a way. I do not like this. This will have it be over between us. When you have discussed this is my sexual health history. I was treated for that. I no longer have this. I have a clean bill of health, and here's my clean thing. Or if you have a sexual health thing to reveal, you'll want to say that, okay, that is chronic or something. So my offer is not about time. It's actually about what have you communicated about the truth about yourself. And I don't think you should be having sex with people who don't know you, unless you've made an agreement to keep it anonymous, which is a whole other situation, but you still have to have the sexual health history conversation. So that is my deep, heartfelt recommendation, and I think you'll find something totally interesting will happen when you do just that.
I totally agree, and I think that people need to know what they want. I really know and believe that it starts with people knowing what they want and being very clear about what it is that they want, stating what they want, not pretending like they don't want what they want, and loving enough what they want to have what they want. I mean, if you love enough what you want, really, Dave, I mean, if you love it enough, you're going to wait for what you want. And if it happens in 5 minutes, so be it. If it happens for you in 5 minutes, good for you. If that's what works for you. So we never intended, I know the three of us never intend to give people the answer. We intend to say you actually have the answer and you need to be listening to yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You already know. Stop fucking around like you don't know.
Yeah.
So,
Tazima, I loved it when you said that you need to know what your desire is and be committed to having that.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we are down to go ahead, Zima. We got a couple more minutes.
One real quick thing is, to those of you who are listening, if you got the willies when I said you want me to tell them everything, you need to check that in. It's really critical that you check that in. That I don't want. I promise you. Technically, I had sex on the first date with my man who we live together now. I had sex on the first date. Why? Because I actually revealed all of those things. We already knew what everything was. There was no question. There was no springing anything on one another. It was all revealed. So I was ready. So this is my method. It's tried and true. You can do it too. It's pretty scary. So don't act like, you know, it ain't scary. It is scary. It's fucking terrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying, but we like terror. We live for scary shit. We eat scary shit for breakfast. It's a roller coaster. That's right. That's right. Well, this has been Sex and the Struggle. What she said. We got Don't Wait Fornicate happening June 24th, 2017 in Washington, D.C. You want to check that out. Go to the Eventbrite page, Don't Wait, Fornicate. Get your tickets. They're only $10 right now. We are going to sell out. We are constantly putting in sponsors, and you want to be in a room when me, Frenchie Davis, Erica Hard, and Reverend Beverly Dale show up. And I think we got a special guest. We ain't quite ready to reveal who she is yet. But we got a special guest that's going to be showing up. We probably got a couple of them. But there's one in particular who's a favorite of mine, and I cannot wait to announce that she's going to be there. So, Brother David, anything going on in your world, brother, that we need to know about?
We have, I often talk about the retreats and things that I do. They're just creating experiences that I like and I enjoy and invite others to come along and join. So we have another one coming up in July. Check us out at Facebook at BeWellBeOrgasmic.com.
And Sister Zima, what you got for us?
So I will be revealing some infographics very soon, but I want you all to watch my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Tazima, T-A-Z-I-M-A, and I ask some interesting questions, so check them out there, and there'll be infographics to come.
Right on. Well, thank you both so very much. We are going to wrap up Sex and the Struggle tonight, and we look forward to seeing you next week right here, Tuesday, 9 p.m., Sex and the Struggle. Have a good evening. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.